Welcome to Lead to Succeed, an interview series with business leaders about economic growth and leadership in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. This show is produced by InvestUP, the leading regional economic organization for the UP. For more information, visit investupmi.com. Here is the host of Lead to Succeed, former CEO of the Michigan Economic Development Corporation, Steve Arwood.
Well, good day and welcome to the first installment of Lead to Succeed, a series of conversations that we're going to have on behalf of InvestUP with successful and leading CEOs across the Upper Peninsula. With me today is Mr. Steve Hicks from Iron Mountain, correct, originally?
Correct, yes.
Correct. CEO and chairman of the J.M. Longyear Corporation. Steve, you know, if you're born and raised in the UP or if you spent a lot of time in the UP, J.M. Longyear is probably a familiar company, or at least the name's familiar, has a long history, 150-some years in the Upper Peninsula. But I don't know if a lot of people know what J.M. Longyear is today. As I stand back and look at it, it almost looks like a kind of a unique private equity company. It's established itself in Marquette and it's had some really interesting growth patterns. Could you take a moment, talk about the history of Longyear and what you're doing today and what Longyear is?
Certainly, Stephen. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you and to others in the Upper Peninsula. So J.M. Longyear is a 150-year-old company. Obviously, I'm not going to give you the chronology for the last 150 years. But what I will say is J.M. Longyear evolves over decades. It has evolved. A true testament to sustainability is being around for 150 years. And with that evolution, we take a look at patterns over 10-year periods of time. In our patterns, I wouldn't call us private equity because we buy and hold for a period of long period of time, but we're more of an asset manager. And as we looked over the next decade or so, we're aligning our portfolio to manufacturing, to asset diversification, whether it's medical devices and contract manufacturing for precision manufacturing, forest products, lumber, areas where we think we have core competencies. And most importantly, we can acquire the talent, which we believe there is significant talent in the Upper Peninsula. That's how we've invested. We look at portfolio diversification as a key to longevity.
When you're around for 150 years, there has to be a particular culture in the leadership of a company that can go on that long and continue maybe to reinvent itself and diversify. I mean, as you look at kind of your culture of leadership and how you look at these new opportunities, how do you express that with your team members? What's the thought process that goes into that?
I think it's twofold. I'll answer about the team second, but I would take a look at the shareholder base. We are still owned by the descendants of John and Mary Longyear. We're 150 years in fifth and sixth generations. And that's a true testament of an organization that wants to perpetuate their longevity and their family company. So one is you have to have a really committed ownership group to continue to evolve. I think the second thing is really an intentional culture. Intentional culture, what I mean by that is it's our responsibility to create this culture of having many different companies, but having a one Longyear approach. And that one Longyear approach, I think, is the most important piece, is empowering our employees at all levels. And that is the key to our success. It's not me talking to you, Steve. It's the folks on the shop floor making decisions hourly, being safe, hitting quality metrics, making decisions. It's not our general managers. It's all the folks. And so our intentional culture is what is going to make us successful.
You know, sometimes those of us that have spent a lot of time in the Upper Peninsula and work in the Upper Peninsula, we tend to talk about maybe our inherent disadvantages, logistically and where we're located. You've overcome that. You're in a fast-paced global business, medical devices, competition coming from, all different areas of the world, all different states. You're operating that out of Marquette. You're doing it very successfully. Is there an inherent positive to that? The message always is kind of like, well, it's in the Upper Peninsula. Why? I think we both know the why, but what What do you think about that in operating business ethics?
I think it's your perception. I think if you perceive that you're inherently disadvantaged, you're not going to start from a point of strength. I think we are advantaged. I think, you know, if I look at, I'm just going to look at the Upper Peninsula where I sit. If I look to my left, which would be toward the Sioux, if I look to my right towards Ironwood, maybe there's only 300,000 people in 300 miles, but we have three world-class universities. We have great infrastructure. We have great lifestyle. I can't find too many people or too many places in the world that have the same amount of talent that we can attract, but for the lifestyle, but also for the talent that's produced from some great universities, whether it's Northern Michigan, Michigan Tech, Lake Superior State, or community colleges. So I think the most important piece is your perception of how you view yourself is the key to success.
Marquette's changed a lot in the last 30 years. It's now hitting the, the national news media is a place to be, which I think is all very, very positive. Have you seen in this era of pandemic and people kind of wanting to move away from core urban areas, have you seen in your own search for talent, maybe, new interest or maybe greater interest in coming to work for one of your companies because of where you are?
We've had several general and operating manager postings in the last 6 months just for our growth. We've had no problem filling those, and they're coming from outside the area. They're coming from folks that have not lived in the Upper Peninsula. This is not coming back home. It's we want to live in it. I think the most important piece is they want to be a part of Longyear. That's one about the intentional culture. I think it goes for any company, but also it's a great place to live. We are not sitting in the middle of Mongolia, hundreds of thousands of miles away from anything. We are very close to a lot of urban areas, but yet we have a lot of great infrastructure here and a great lifestyle. So I think the pandemic, in my view, has allowed us to attract some pretty key talent, and yeah, we've been successful at it.
Speaking of the pandemic, I mean, it was and still continues to stress operations as normal. What key kind of insights did you gain as a CEO moving through and kind of continuing through this, prolonged period of a different way to operate? Was it smooth? Was it rough? How did you kind of lead through that? What was your thought process?
I think there's a couple of things. One is technology has advanced so fast that we were able to operate effectively. But aside from that, I think communication constantly, whether it's podcast emails, whether it's a board email or email to all our shareholders, or just direct communications to the general managers on a daily basis, was key. I think the biggest part for our management team is we came out with two really key objectives. We don't know what's going to, in last March, we didn't know what was going to happen the next day. I think none of us have lived through something like this. So the uncertainty was pretty profound, but we said two things. We wanted to make sure that we were safe. We were safe physically and financially. And that was for our employees and our company. So we intentionally made sure that safety was a priority, whether it is from COVID or whether it is just operating. When people continue to think about operating some of the business we're in, it's pretty challenging. A move they make may harm them significantly. And so we had to make sure people were comfortable and understand why we were there, why we were serving a customer and how we can keep them safe. And financially, we were intentional that we never laid one person off during the pandemic. It wasn't for our financial gain. It was to protect them. And we also protected the company. Credit to the managers. We were probably in the best financial position Longyear has had, at least in the last 20 years, because of our focus.
Yeah. Did you see during this period of time, did you see kind of your traditional, the way your business was, kind of on a revenue base changing because of the pandemic? Was it one side of the business that went down, one side of the business went up? I mean, we had this period of time where, elective surgery was not happening. And did that affect medical devices? And on the other hand, you have your high quality cabinetry materials. Did that go up? I mean, did you see movement because of the pandemic?
Yeah, we saw movement across all different companies. You're right. Elective surgeries did go down for the medical device side. That was Q2 last year. Then it became choppy. It became really good after there was a built-up demand. Then it came back down a little bit. But I think the biggest issue I would see in some of the manufacturing businesses were our customers could not have enough employees to work. So we would find one day where we would have orders for the whole week, and the next day we would find those orders canceled because our customers could not have enough people to work. So it's a credit to our team to make sure that we didn't have anybody that just did not show up because of they felt safe, both financially and physically. But that was the biggest challenge, I think, Steve, is we didn't know each day to day which customer we would have to fulfill the orders just because they didn't know who was showing up for work.
Switching gears a bit, as a CEO, you talk to other CEOs in the Upper Peninsula. What's the CEO chatter right now? What are some of the kind of the hot button issues that the CEOs are talking about? Common themes or issues people are having or issues people aren't having, I guess.
I would say, talent retention obviously is key, and attraction to grow. I don't think it's no different any place in the country. Yeah. I think one of the good things about the CEO conversation to me has been Invest Up, where we're getting more CEOs to interact together to talk about mutually beneficial opportunities. I see more positiveness than pessimism in our CEOs. I can't point to one specific opportunity, but what I believe has been really great for Invest Up is that we've brought in together CEOs where normally we have been really good socially together in the Upper Peninsula, but business collaboration has been less than, I would say, stellar. And I see more collaboration between CEOs just picking up the phone and talking about common opportunities or common challenges.
Yeah. If you were able to address a room of the leading CEOs in the Upper Peninsula and were asked to put your finger on one or two either really great opportunities that exist out there regionally or even some problems. I mean, I think we all know that some of the common problems, what would your thoughts be? What would you tell these ladies and men that, hey, as a group of CEOs, there's a couple of things that we really ought to coalesce around?
Yeah, I would say talent attraction and then the infrastructure around talent attraction. We have various different businesses, so there's different market demands and different items that go into each sector. But again, talent attraction on a coordinated basis is going to be key. Also, I think obviously where you came from and your career at the MEDC, I don't think any of us have ever seen this much money put into from the federal government to cities, counties, municipalities, state governments. I think coalescing around a very clear message of how to use that capital to help municipalities think how the private sector expands versus, my specific interest. But I think that would be the greatest opportunity for the collaboration of CEOs to coalesce around a single strategy to use that capital for the benefit of us, not only tomorrow, but 20 years from now.
Yeah, and it's a tremendous amount of money. And we've discussed that as a group and we've discussed that individually. And the programs can either be created, and when the money runs out, you either end the program or you make, as you said, you make a very conscious long-term investment, even if it's one-time money, something that continues to promote that activity. As you've grown into your role, and I shouldn't say matured, because I think we're about the same vintage, so
I don't want to pick. Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that comment. Yeah. I won't look at my driver's license.
Today. Yeah. But along the way, any specific mentors, any specific companies, any specific models you looked at and said, as I continue to develop my leadership as Steve Hicks, but as I continue to develop, the Longyear brand, the Longyear family of companies, who did you look to? What was kind of your guiding light through a lot of that?
I think early in my career, I was fortunate enough. One of our board members was a executive at Dow Chemical on the North American Executive Board. So extremely bright, extremely well-educated, saw many things from running Dow Mexico to running their whole plastics division. So I was very fortunate to get rooted in on some exceptional executive leadership 20, 25 years ago. And that helped set a baseline. Where I look around is I listen to folks, whether it be someone like yourself who's had a great experience or some of our other fellow CEOs in the Upper Peninsula or other folks I talk to. I just try to take away a little bit of what everybody talks about. I'm trying not to be someone mimic a Warren Buffett or a Jamie Dimon. It's really who I am, but trying to find little nuggets of how people have led through, whether it's the pandemic or just, you know, created energy for the growth of a company.
Mm-hmm. How do you take all of that and now, and I wouldn't say now, I'm not suggesting that there's anything coming, of course, but how do you succession plan then in a 150-year-old company that is done remarkably well, but we all know that, you know, the tone sets at the top. And how are you thinking through a lot of that?
Well, I think as I talked to you earlier on about our strategy of kind of diversification and moving into this more larger and diverse mm-hmm. manufacturing portfolio, that's no different that we have at our board discussions. We look at decades as our board members and myself personally. So there is a framework of how we succeed here at Longyear. Is it perfect? No. Is there a one page look of what it looks like over the next, let's call it 5 to 7 years? Yes.
Yeah. As you look across the, you know, not just the Upper Peninsula, but as you look across the big business spectrum, the way things are going right now, any unique opportunities for the Upper Peninsula? Any unique positioning you see that assets that we're not necessarily capitalizing on, or if you could, you know, what are, you know, the sustainable models over time for growth and prosperity? Do you see things that are different than they were 5, 10 years ago that are opportunistic?
I do. I think innovation. We just launched our first product at Able Medical Devices, a really very simple but yet really innovative product. And that's because of the talent we have around the table. I don't mean just keep launching products, but I think innovation, what we see at our universities. And I think some of the collaboration, whether it's engineering or product development or just CEO talent, I think there's a lot of innovation that can not only be just put into the marketplace, but they can be applied to other parts of our manufacturing. So I'm really excited about the next phase of the innovation. And I think the Upper Peninsula, it's well poised with the talent, not only that resides here, that can be attracted here, but that we're educating here too.
If, if a CEO from downstate or out of state, you know, gave you a call and said, hey, you know, we're really interested in doing XYZ in the Upper Peninsula. Tell me what I need to know to get started. How would you proceed with that conversation? I know you'd probably be a booster, but I mean, there's also the frank conversation that, you know, business leader to business leader, here are the things that, you know, may be limiters, or here are the things that may be real opportunistic.
I'm usually more opportunistic, so I'm not an Eeyore, so I have an upward meniscus on the way I look at things. And I would be very candid. Is there talent in the area? Is there ability to attract that talent? Is there ability to retain that talent and you know, grow that talent? I think that would be the question, depending on where you reside. I would say yes, we can attract. I would say globally, yes, there is talent in this area. There's really, really good talent. Can you attract it out of the area? I think you have more opportunities today than you ever had in retaining it. I think you have a good opportunity to retain talent. This is, and I'm going to use the medical device because it's a little more competitive in talent. I feel better of having our company here than if I had it in Austin, Texas, or Carlsbad, California, because folks just move around the system, hopping from job to job. Here, they want to be here, and they want to grow and learn. So I think that's my biggest item for a CEO considering. You know, they'll know the product, they'll know the industry. I think it's talent is what I would
say. That's very interesting. I mean, it wasn't too many years ago, and you know that, you know, if you were in the medical device business or biosciences or any of these tech industries, you almost kind of migrated your company, at least your startup and your growth, toward the capital. Has that changed where the capital will now, you know, you don't need to be in the Valley, you don't need to be in Austin? Is that kind of starting to reverse itself?
No, I am not as clearly plugged into capital because we use our own capital. Everything is all internally funded at Longyear. But just anecdotally, what I've heard in conversations, you know, you're seeing a flight out of the Valley or you're seeing a flight out of urban areas. I think that capital will follow. I think when you start getting capital that is rooted in an area, meaning that you have folks rather than in Boston and New York, they may reside in Traverse City or Marquette. You're just seeing more of that capital come in. And I don't think that's very far away. I think you're well less than a decade.
Yeah, interesting. Just one final question from my end. If you were mentoring a young man or woman who had, you know, aspirations to build a business in the Upper Peninsula, what would you tell them? What would your basic advice be as if they ask you, help me lay out a strategy to do what I'm trying to do? What would you say?
Don't try to be perfect. And this is a very simple way of, you'll never get everything right. If you make a mistake, learn from it. And if you make a mistake, don't stop. Keep going. I see people trying to be, including myself, you try to be too perfect with a plan and you spend more time being perfect than you miss opportunities. So don't be perfect, make a mistake, learn from it, and don't stop.
Excellent advice. So that ends my questions. Are there anything you'd like to expand on, add to, observations from your end?
I always appreciate talking to you. It is a pleasure. I think the last message to the folks in the Upper Peninsula, there's more opportunities than there's challenges. I would say in the next decade, this is going to be a place people want to be. And so you're in a great position. I think the last thing is keep collaborating with your fellow colleagues. And I think growth is going to be right in front of us. So Steve, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Invest Up, for driving the business community, and look forward to other CEO conversations as we go forward.
Thank you. We've had Steve Hicks, CEO and president of JM Longyear, for our first Lead to Succeed series. And I think it went great. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
This has been Lead to Succeed, an interview series with business leaders about economic growth and leadership in the UP of Michigan. This show has been produced by Invest UP, the leading regional economic organization for the UP. For more information and to check out additional episodes, visit investupmi.com. You can also download the audio-only version wherever your major podcasts are found by searching Lead to Succeed.